Mintaka was on the roof of the Temple of Hathor, which she and some of the women and old men were making habitable for the goddess so that they might resume their worship in her presence. The building might have been 1,000 years old, there was no way of telling, but many of the murals were in a marvellous state of preservation and needed only a little touching up. The roof was another matter. However, the elements were kindly and so consistent that the great holes mattered little. It was only necessary to remove the rotten rafters, which placed the worshippers below in mortal jeopardy. Mintaka was supervising this work. She was dressed, like the other women, in simple, well-worn clothing, and like them she was burnt brown by the sun. This life was so different from that closeted existence in the Zenana of Avaris, and she revelled in her new freedom, the friendship and company of her common companions. She straightened and stretched her aching back, balancing easily on the high wall. Then she shaded her eyes and looked out over the green fields of young Dora, and the patterns of irrigation ditches filled with sparkling water from Taita's fountain. Herds of cattle and a flock of fat-tailed sheep were grazing in the lush paddocks, but very few horses. Like every other person in Galala, she felt the lack of them keenly. Then, as she had every hour over the past long and lonely days since Nefer had left the city, she raised her eyes and looked down the length of the valley between the bare, forbidding hills that stood in such bleak contrast to the green fields clustered round the city. This was the direction from which Nefer would come. She searched the blue distance without real hope, for she'd been disappointed too often recently. Suddenly she narrowed her eyes against the glare, and her heartbeat quickened. Something was there, tiny against the soaring immensity of the sky, insubstantial and ethereal as a feather blowing in the wind. A dust devil, perhaps, one of the whirlwinds born of the heated desert airs. She looked away and wiped the sweat from her thick dark brows, resting her eyes. When she looked again, the dust cloud was closer, and she allowed herself to hope. At that moment a ram's horn sounded a single long blast. The lookouts on the crest of the hills had also seen it. Around her the others stopped work and peered down the valley. From the streets below came the excited shouts of the children. Grooms ran to the stables, the charioteers to where their vehicles lay beyond the marketplace. All was happy bustle. Mintaka could restrain herself no longer. She went down the scaffolding that covered the outer wall of the temple with the alacrity of a vervet caught stealing fruit in an orchard. Chabako was driving his chariot across the forum, past the battle memorial of Tarnus, heading for the gates. "Chabako!" she ran to intercept him. He swerved to meet her, and as he pulled up the team she leapt onto the footplate behind him. They raced out through the gates and down the rutted track. Ahead the dust cloud was coming on apace. "It is them, Chabako! Tell me it is!"
"I do believe it is, Majesty!" he shouted above the rush of the wind.
"Then why do you drive so slowly?" Over the rise ahead came a single vehicle, and she clung to the dashboard, trying to make out the charioteer, but he was still too far away.
"Look, mistress! He flies the blue pennant!"
Chabako pointed to the scrap of dyed cloth that fluttered on the long bamboo rod above the chariot.
"'Tis Nefer! Oh, all praise to the goddess! It is him!"
She ripped off her headcloth and waved it, while Nefer lashed up his team and came on at the charge.
"Let me off!"
She beat on Shabako's shoulder to enforce the order, and he slowed the horses to a trot. She jumped from the moving vehicle and landed gracefully in balance. Then she ran to meet the advancing chariot with her arms open wide. Coming up behind, Taita thought that in his eagerness Nefer might run her down. But at the last moment he swerved, and as the chariot lost speed, he leant far out over the side of the cockpit and reached down for her. Trustingly, she threw herself into the circle of his arms. If she'd hesitated or flinched, she might have been dashed beneath the galloping team or crushed under the metal-shod wheels. But he caught her up, swung her high, and she laughed in his arms.